Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Vance Rogers, your illustrious host, and I want to welcome everybody to Saturday AM Live. We've got Susan Carver on the line from, Susan, you say Orlando, Florida, right, is home?
Right. I just live north of Orlando, but nobody knows where that is, so it's just Orlando, yes.
I understand. I would never tell anybody I live in Corbett, Oregon, because nobody knows where that is. I
just
say Portland, and then a lot of people think, "Oh, that's a suburb of Seattle, right?" You're out there. Right. It's a three-hour commute. So, but yeah, we're all part of Seattle, the mecca of magnets, where you know all the really important people live. But so Susan is a Susan, I don't know how to even describe you. Your vast history and experience and occupations and everything. And I know there's a lot of people on the line right now who have heard you share your story either in person or on a call or on a Bo Jabi broadcast. But to level the playing field, give us the overview of who Susan Carver is and where she came from. And then let's get into what's current and what you just got back from as far as a little south of the border, and talk about all that stuff. So Susan Carver, back from, you know, entering into the occupational world, I think it started at Disney, if my memory serves me correct, right?
Yeah, that was my first, first of all, thank you for having me on the call, and to all the people that are up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
That's just on the West Coast, okay?
Well, I know, but still, that's quite a sacrifice, and big part of this business is knowing what you want, and then the second thing is knowing what you're going to give up to get what you want, because six-figure incomes just don't drift into your front door. You have to create them, you have to make them happen, and you have to give up things, and then you just have to, at the end of the day, you have to say to yourself, you know, are these things that I'm, you know, I always think about it, Vance, as putting it on a scale. You know, we don't use scales anymore much to measure things. You know, that image of a scale in the legal system, where you put things on the left and you put things on the right and you see which one weighs more. And if you just decide that, okay, what I want Nikon to give me is on that right-hand side and it weighs, you know, 10 pounds, just to give an analogy, and what you're willing to give up is only about 7 ounces, then it's never going to move and it's never going to come into form. But if you're willing to say, I'm willing to give up 10, 12 pounds, because once I can build an organization, I will have that in my life and have that come to fruition. So that part of the 7 o'clock in the morning, getting up on a Saturday when you can sleep in, is part of that discipline, is part of that sacrifice. So, again, accolades to all of you guys that are up on the call. Real quick, the background is so boring. I get asked this all the time in Nikon, and it's just so boring. I was raised in a single-parent home. Money was a tight situation. We weren't poor, but there were absolutely no extras. So there was no vacation my entire childhood. They were drinking water with every meal. But I don't want to paint the picture that I didn't have clothes or holes in my shoes or anything like that, but because I did... My mom sacrificed and put her priority to send me to private Christian school on about a $10, $9 something, an hour income, back in the 80s. So, it didn't go very far. So I was, raised in a very, modest home with, just the necessities. But it was an interesting thing because I remember fantasizing my entire childhood that it wouldn't always be this way. I didn't buy into it. I didn't buy into the fact that, you know, clothes are bought, you know, dirt cheap, and if it's not on sale, we can't afford it, and we can't. I didn't buy into that. I just knew that this was a temporary state. I think God gave me that, because there's no entrepreneurial person in my life that heavily influenced me and said, you know, like the rich dad, poor dad. You know, Robert Kiyosaki had that powerful mentor in his business, his friend's dad. I didn't have anyone like that, so I know where mine came from. And it was just this peace. That's what it was. It was a peace knowing that tomorrow I could participate in a different lifestyle. I live in America, for crying out loud, and I can participate and a different lifestyle. It's not Cambodia. I have the ability. Other people have done it, and it always won't be like this. So that was a wonderful, peaceful thing. And the other thing that I think that I really picked up on is that I never, for one second, ever had jealousy in any bone in my body for anyone that pulled up next to, you know, us in traffic with a beautiful Mercedes or beautiful Volvo, or we drove in a gorgeous home neighborhood or something like that, and I'd see gorgeous homes. Never was a jealousy thing. It was like, wow, that's nice, and I'd like to have, you know, something similar to that. Not that it's going to make me happy, just to know that those options were there. So I went to college, fortunate enough to be on a scholarship, and graduated from college, moved back in with Mom. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had a poli-sci degree and decided I did not want to go into politics. And then I just kind of moved back in with Mom, and the neighbor across the street, how a lot of us get our jobs is just we knew somebody or heard something, which is a terrible way to pick a career, but the lady across the street was a manager at Disney. She'd just gotten a divorce and was renting that house there on the corner, and I don't know how it came up, but she said, oh, she goes, maybe I can, you know, help it along and get you into Disney. So I had a $7, started out at six something, $7 an hour job at Epcot Center in Guest Relations, and went to work there and realized that, wow, I was helping people under that big golf ball looking thing. They've done away with that now, but that used to be a kiosk for information. And I'd see people come over with three and four children. The Europeans, you could always tell because they had socks on with their sandals. But that's another story. That was always interesting. I could figure out who was from different parts of the world because Americans used to wear socks with their sandals. Unless their name is Vance Rogers, then they might. I don't know.
That's a whole subject in itself that my wife I know. And you've traveled enough around the globe to know that you can recognize Americans really, really quick.
Really quick, yeah. We have an informalness about us. So anyway, I just realized really quickly that I'm working at a place that I can't afford to really vacation. And so I see these families come over again, and it was like, not that, oh, they're rich and they're staying at the, you know, Grand Floridian for 10 days and blah, 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 who do they think? It was like, what does this man do or what does this woman do that they can come over here, fly over here, spend this kind of time? You know, it's always that. So I always had an open eye for what was going to be the vehicle that was going to shift me from a first gear into a third and fourth gear type of life. And I still didn't find it. I moved out to California. Again, that, I can believe that was part of God's plan to take me out to California. It's a long story how I got out there through a documentary. And that's where I needed to be, because then I got into a car accident. And not a serious one. It was serious for my car, but not me. And that's when someone thought of me to say, hey, these products may help your back and neck, and also this might be great for you as a business. So it was a gentleman that I met out in California who knew that I wasn't happy. And my lucky fortune is he took tennis lessons from a gentleman named Herb Rapp, who had just gotten into NECN. And so Herb Rapp asked, gave him one question. And this is a million-dollar question, because Mr. Herb Rapp's earned $1 million from putting me in the business. So this is truly, no exaggeration, a million-dollar question. Okay, and here's the question. Herb asked this gentleman that knew both of us, but Herb and I didn't know each other, who do you know who's a go-getter, cares about people, but is not happy doing what they're doing right now or making the kind of money they want to make? Who do you know who's a go-getter, who cares about people, is not happy doing what they're doing or not making the kind of money they want to make? One faith. Don't even ask for a name. Ask for a faith. Because people think in faces. And he says, well, my printing sales rep. That was the first name that came out, first face and name that came out. And Herb asked him to invite him, and I remember getting the phone call, and he was terrible at inviting me. But I went to be polite, and so I came to the presentation, and Herb gave the wellness preview, and I got so excited about the insoles. I'm like, wow. At the time, I'm sure that not retire now, but at the time there was like 17 million diabetics in the United States. And my mind went, wait a minute, if those insoles are, those are a monopoly, and they work like half the time, or just 50% of the time, and it's a monopoly, and these other cool products, if they work half of the time, and they're a monopoly, and they're an alternative to something of a huge problem, back discomfort, you know, sleeping problems, this is it. This is it. This is the vehicle that's going to take me from first gear, which I was living in a rented room in Southern California, and when I signed my paperwork with Nissan, and I had $4,100 in the bank. And so if any of you are on the call that are new and you're in your comfort zone, it's going to cost you a lot of money to stay in that comfort zone. And the reason is because you're going to come up to someone like me who's 28 years old, has a dead-end career. I was a sales rep for a printing company because the documentary dream didn't work out, the reason I went to California. So you're going to take someone that's 28 years old like me. You're going to go, oh, she's not going to have any fear. She enjoys public speaking. She's, go-getter, friendly, And what you're going to do, because you're in your comfort zone, is you're going to come to me at 28 years old, and you're going to offer me the product, and you're going to go, Susan, let me show you this cool stuff. And you're going to lose me, because I'm going to be sitting there, and I'm going to be looking, well, how much is this, and how much is the water machine, and, that is nice, but how much is that, and the shower, and, the sleep, I got a bed, though, how much is it? And, see, the car wreck wasn't a big deal, because I didn't have a lot of major things. It was just a little trigger that got that gentleman to think of me. But the thing that's really important to think about is that's not my greatest need. Yes, do I need the water? Of course. I'm drinking bottled water that's contaminated and dead. It's clean, but it's dead. You know, and I'm not sleeping in the right environment. And correct, you are right. But that's not my greatest need. My greatest need is, again, this lifelong dream to fulfill, to quit being in the lower middle classes or the upper lower classes financially wise or whatever, and to give me a vehicle to get on, to get in a bigger race and be on a bigger track. And you're coming to me and you're showing me these products because that's your comfort zone and that's what you're comfortable talking about. But you never really pulled back and said, let me think about Susan. Let me get my head around Susan for a second. 28 years old, living in a rented room. Well, gosh, nobody wants to be 28. Almost 30, and they don't even have their own apartment or their own home. Okay. All right. All right. This woman doesn't have a lot of fear. Fear doesn't run her life. You know. Okay, let me talk to her about the business, man. That's the product she needs that I have. So if you come to me and you say to me, you say, Susan, how many more years do you want to stay at the printing shop? Will you see yourself there another 5 years? No. Now you've got the right worm on the hook, the right bait to attract me to what you're doing. If you come at me to buy something, I'm like, this nice person doesn't know I only have $4,100 in the bank. They don't know I live in a rented room. I need an opportunity to be able to create some traction and get going somewhere. So if you come to me and you say, Susan, do you see yourself at the printing supply? You know, because it's only me and then the owner, so there wasn't any financial opportunity. And then ask me about that. You know, you cite about possibly moving up. Well, there's no place to move up. Oh, will you see yourself in there another 5 years? Oh, gosh, no. Well, what do you like best about what you do there? Well, I'm not sitting in an office. Bingo. Well, what do you like least about it? Well, it's highly competitive, and I've lost jobs, you know, over this and this and this and that. Well, tell me more, Susan. What's that like? Okay, how frustrating is that? Okay. You know, and say, hey, you're working on a documentary. What was it about? Well, it was about drug prevention and crack cocaine and children and babies and all that as a prevention film. Well, you never got that done. No, I didn't. What made you work on that? Did you have funding? No, I was cleaning houses and working as a maid to support that documentary so I could get it done. So what does that tell you, Ants, about me? This woman is hungry for a cause. She's passionate about that. For 2 years, I worked as a maid on and off at Disney to to support to try to get this documentary done because I had a burden on my heart to share something. I am so Niken, it is staring right in front of you. But if you stay in your comfort zone and you sit there and go, I'm just going to tell about the alkaline water. Well, then you're going to, I'm going to weasel out of there because I feel guilty and I'm going to buy a water bottle from you and that's going to be the end.
Mm-hmm.
I have done $100 million of business in 7 countries. You're going to miss me. Doesn't look like I'm going to do that. Don't look at a resume. Ask me questions and find out if I'm just a fluffy dreamer or if this is someone that really needs this opportunity. And then do your absolute best to explain it, or better yet, get someone on the phone like Vance, because Vance and I are similar in age. And get me on the phone with Vance, because back in 95, he was 20-something. And get us on the phone, right? You used to be 20. I mean, you remember that, right, Vance?
I remember that. And so many of these things that you're saying, I'm going, oh my goodness, this is exactly the way I was introduced to it. And it wasn't,
correct.
It wasn't the, I mean, yes, the products did, they kind of, as you said, I think they kind of piqued the interest or there was a need, but that wasn't where most of the people that I know in our nation or even in North America or in the world for that matter. I don't think that's where they're hurting the worst, and you're nailing this.
Well, Dave Johnson gave me an amazing thing that I've been using from time to time, and maybe some of you guys on the call can use this. Go to the bank and pull out a $100 bill and just keep it in your wallet. Nice, crisp one, brand new, okay? And so when you're talking to your people or when you're talking to someone, take out the $100 bill and slide it in front of them and then take out a palm mag and put that next to them or a back flex or a
mag flex.
And just slide those two things and say, which one of these two things do you think people are most interested in? Dave Johnson gave me that like 3 months ago, and I was just like, yeah, that's so cool. That's a nice way of, they're giving you permission to talk about money, because what are most people more interested in? This device over here or that $100 bill?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a beautiful visual that we all can use. And yes, do I need to invest in my business? Absolutely. Absolutely. I got a credit card quickly. I pulled out $2,000 or $3,000 out of my, $4,100 bank account, which was nerve-wracking to me. But the whole time, I knew I was making the right decision. I knew I was making the right decision. But so with the sacrifice, yeah, going into debt, D-E-B-T, that's correct. And then going and pulling out what pathetic savings I had money to my name at almost 30. But I knew if I didn't do that, then, tomorrow would not be different. Because, 27 wasn't any different, 26 wasn't any different, 25 wasn't any different, and 24 wasn't any different. So I needed different, and to make that happen, I needed to take a totally different path. But I love the fact that the company came with a 90% money-back guarantee on those technologies that are unused for a year. I felt good about that. You can share that with people. I don't think a lot of us, we quit talking about that. That if you buy, 4 pairs of insoles and this doesn't work out, you keep them new and in the box. Okay, maybe you cut one pair. Well, you send the other 3 back. I mean, you can't lose unless you don't participate type thing. So that's really kind of how I got started. And again, to find the people that want to build a large network or people that want to just make $500 a month. It doesn't matter. We all those people have a place in Niken. And again, it's just a matter of what are you willing to give up? I was willing to give up just about anything that was moral and ethical. No. But I was about anything outside of that, I was willing to give up my time, invest what little money and means I had, and become a student of this and learn from people like you and learn from other people and then watch some of the leaders and go, yeah, I don't want to be like you. It's not the me show. I'm not, yeah, okay, all right. Learn, don't want, oh, I like the way someone does that. Or, oh, I like this. And one of the biggest dangers in this business is I see it happen all the time in platinums, and then it gets worse at diamond, and then it becomes chronic at royal. is that nobody's coachable. They just quit listening. Like, yep. Oh, well, I've arrived.
Yep.
And I'm not gullible. I don't take every idea that's thrown out there. But when Dave Johnson did that, I'm like, it's gone. I'm taking it. Or Reed Nelson says something to me, or one of the other leaders. I don't care. Let me just give some credit. A woman named Faye, who's a new gold down in the Sarasota area. You know, that comment I just said, get your head around your prospect before you open your mouth. I totally stole that from her. She goes, what do you mean? Start thinking about this person. Conversations you've had with them, frustrations, positive things, negative things. What do you mean? Get your head around them. I'm like, yeah. And I've been using that for the last 4 years. So you've got to have an open idea of going, I'm here to get better at this. I'm here to grow at this. And I'm here to be better and better, because the more I improve at communicating what this is and what it's not, sales, door-to-door, running around, talking your friends into things, then the more effective you're going to be at communicating this. And then you're swinging the bat, and guess what? You're connecting more, and you're connecting more, and you're prospecting, and you're looking and going, yeah, that person's a waste of time, or yeah, I'm not gonna go all out for that. No, that guy's negative and nasty, and he's got a temper. I've got a gift here, and no. So what happens is, instead of going up there at the plate and exhausting yourself, swinging, you know, 45 times and connecting 15 times with products and one business person, then you get up there and you hit 45, and I mean, you connect and you have 45 come over the plate. And maybe now you put in 3 or 4 or 6 business builders, and then you put in those 15 or 20, and the other people don't know what they want. But there's something else really on my heart that I wanted to share, that I just recently, again, staying online there with always looking for a better way to communicate what we do, Vance, mm-hmm. is that I just saw something by Robert Kiyosaki. I mean, I like what he does, but I'm not like this huge fan, or I've read all his books or anything. But the guy's got some basic, you know, fifth grade level way of explaining something that really gets the point across, and it's amazing. And I just recently saw this, and it says there's 4 types of people in the world. And on the top left-hand corner, when you're out there prospecting for you guys, this is kind of cool, because this will really help you understand who's out there in the world. You know, we've learned the controller, right, the promoter, the analytical, and the supporter. Those are very important when we're speaking our language, you know, because when we're explaining me, Ken, to a controller, it's a totally different explanation than someone who has a supporter personality. The words we pick, it's still me, Ken, but the wording is everything. And then analytical, the way we talk to an analytical versus someone like me who's a promoter. Boy, you dump a bunch of studies on me and get real technical, and you've lost me. But if you get that strength test going and show me the drops and get me involved and talk about, you know, career options and where you're going to be and all that, get me involved, and you have enthusiasm, then that's how you explain the same language. But if you don't take the analytical, what they need, you'll lose them. So there's controller, promoter, top left, controller, bottom left, promoter, top right, analytical, bottom right, supporter. But the thing that I learned recently from Robert Kiyosaki that I saw was, he said there's another 4 types of people in the world when you're looking at prospecting, not what you're saying, but just who these people are. So you understand the odds when you're up there swinging the bat, okay? In the top left-hand corner, he says, is the person that's always right. So you can explain to them, you can show them a $9,000 residual check. You can show them a $35,000 a month check. You can show them a $3,000 a month check that you're earning, or a $300,000. And it doesn't matter what you say. They're right. Corporate America is the way to go. Network marketing doesn't work. And no matter what you put in front of them, or no matter what you say, they're always right. They've already set that the cement has dried. This is the way their life is. And this is the path they've taken, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you bring, it's a waste of time. Those are people that have to be right. And then the people on the people that have to be right, and then there's the people that have to be liked. They have to be liked. Everyone has to like them. So if they get into Nikan and two or three people don't agree with what they're doing or not gung-ho, then they'll go ahead and they'll quit. People that have to be liked, right? And then the other group of people are the people that are comfortable. They're just comfortable. So they live in a $127,000 house where they have a six-year-old minivan, smells like French fries, and that's just where they're at. And that's where they're comfortable. And the life is in chaos, their weight is in chaos, their relationships are in chaos, but believe it or not, they're still comfortable. They're just so comfortable, okay? Or they can be worth millions of dollars and they're just comfortable. And taking other people to the top and helping other people win and passing on the gift, it's just not their deal, man. Appreciate it, you know? So when I step out of my, you know, $3.5 million house and play golf, I've got my back flexed, and my back feels better, and everyone else's back problem is not my problem. They're comfortable. So whether they're comfortable being broke and having a life that's really not working, or if they're comfortable at the high end, and it's like, well, thanks, and they don't tell anyone about that Magflex, because my bet will good. And, well, there you go, man. There's a check for it. So they're comfortable people. So you're not going to move them no matter what wonderful thing you have. Okay?
And
top left-hand corner are the people that are always right. Bottom left is people that are comfortable. Top right, okay, are the people that have to be liked and popular by everyone, and they're just, ooh. And then the bottom right-hand people are people that want to win. And they'll win, and they'll pay the price. No matter what the price is, they'll pay it because they want to win. So when we're prospecting, if you'll just kind of keep that in mind, it's 3-1, Vince. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's 3-1. Now, I know you're not a fighting guy, but there's no way you're going to pick a fight with three guys, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're just going to go, yeah, that's cool. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Y'all have a good day. And you're out.
Yep.
And you're turning around and you're walking away. So we don't walk away from Nikan, but what we need to realize is that the majority of people walking around on the planet are all right. They're comfortable. Or they have to be popular. And everyone has to agree and accept with what they're doing. And, oh, this is different. Oh, gee, I want to be different because then people won't like me. I could care less what people thought. When I sit down and I'm a prospect, I don't care if you went to Harvard. I don't care if you have three master's degrees. I don't care if you're a doctor of neurology. I don't care what you think of these products. Your opinion cannot touch my results. I've had too many results, and in the beginning, guys, you don't have results. So you've got to borrow someone else's story. This person helped got relief from the necklace on their headache. This person had their acid reflux improved with the water. This person's neuropathy is, like, so much better. Do you understand? You borrow those stories. This is a 5A1 Dun & Bradstreet company. We do business in 38, 39 countries around the world. Their products are not on trial. They're not on trial. So if you don't have your story yet, borrow someone else's. Okay, that's cool testimony. All right, all right. And then get out there and start swinging the bat, and you'll get your own. But just when you go out there, realize who you're dealing with. If out of four, you got one person that wants to step out, and you got three people that don't. So if you go talk to four people, you might find one that wants to step out. But if you know those odds going into this business, and that's one of the most valuable things that I got early on, Vance, is I knew I was only looking for a few.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Knew I was only looking for a few.
Well, and I think I've heard it said so many times is that Nikan's compensation plan is only built on finding three. However, having six will take you all the way to the top. And that passion and that drive of finding three to six other people, or maybe even ten. And the beautiful thing about identifying all these other three categories of people, always right, have to be liked, or comfortable, they can still be customers.
Absolutely. Oh, God, that's a wonderful. That, you're absolutely right. But as far as getting discouraged because Nikan's not working, Nikan works every single time when you find someone who wants to win. Do you understand? Now, they may get discouraged or they might find another deal or run off or something like that. But if they want to win, if they want to win and identify with these technologies, okay? But if you find someone like in the diamonds and the platinums that I've been fortunate enough, and most of them I didn't even find, someone else found them for me. But those people, when we put the right vehicle in front of the right person, this business, you think you've left the planet because they get it. And you just have to realize that yes, most people are just going to be customers. But of that $100 million that's run through my ID number plus, I've lost track of what it is, recently, it all comes from four human beings on the planet. Four. Everything I have today that this company has allowed me to create is all coming from four. And so I knew that going in. I kept looking at this leader, and I'd go up to him, and then I'd go, well, who are your top people? Well, I got so-and-so, so-and-so, and this is so-and-so, and that lady up in so-and-so. That's it? Yeah. Yeah, but you got like 3,000 people in your group. Yeah, but I only got these four that got the whole, I'm like, So it was one of these realizations where I locked in, and I'm like, okay, don't want to sell makeup, don't want to sell coffee, don't want to sell another vitamin. Don't want to sell a juice miracle. And I don't want to sell a dish satellite or whatever phone service. Save you a nickel on your electricity. That's not what motivates me. That may motivate other people. Obviously, those companies are doing well, and those people are motivated by that. I'm not motivated by that. I'm motivated by what these technologies do on a physical level of impacting people, because that is why after all these years, I'm still charged up. Because there's still that person where you go, really? They're sleeping through the night? They've been on this drug and that drug and this drug for sleeping, and they're on these sleep drugs, and they're still not sleeping. And they get on the sleep pad, put the sleep drugs away, and they're sleeping. Really, man? That's cool. Really? For 5 months? Now it's been a year and a half? Wow, that's cool. Because that's a contribution. Not so I can save them 35 cents a cup on a cup of coffee. That doesn't charge me. If it charges you, great. But it doesn't charge me.
Well, and Susan, I think what we so often forget is if we rewind the clock 100 years ago, 95% of the population in America were entrepreneurs, self-starters, had their own business, and living exactly what you're talking about. And today, those numbers have flipped the other side now. We have 5% of our population that are entrepreneurs, self-starters, own their own businesses, and actually live in the wanna win quadrant or that category. We've been skewed and we've been led to believe that, exactly what Kiyosaki teaches, that if we go, do the typical American thing, and how that crept into our society, I don't know. But we have a responsibility that, because if we've been exposed to it, when we know the truth, when you know how electricity works, and you know that, hey, we can flip that switch on and we can enlighten a room and actually cause illumination to happen, we have a moral responsibility to go share that with other people. And we have it. We truly have it. And you're a perfect example of it. And I know that, what you started a few years ago when you were first exposed to this, Who knows if you or I or anybody else that's made it to the level of where we want to be. I don't think we really had any idea what it would look like when we got there. And
absolutely
know,
not. No, but I knew, but at least I knew I wasn't chasing a pipe dream or chasing a cloud. I knew I saw enough validation of people from all different backgrounds, all different ages that were winning. And the winning, to me, is not $10,000 or $100,000 a month. Winning and success is a very, very wide spectrum. And it's different from certain people. Some people in Meekin think they're winning if that, you know, $27,000 or $37,000 a year secretary now is home with her family. That's winning to her. And that needs to be applauded, say, you know, she won the game. You know, she doesn't need to make, you know, $80,000 a year to win the game. To win the game is to be home with her two children that she wants to be there to take them to school. And if they get sick, they don't have to, doesn't have to be a crisis to leave your job to go back. You know, it's just that type of world like you and Stacy have set up. You know, nobody's throwing your kids in daycare. I mean, I don't think, have any of your children ever been in daycare, Vance, your entire
No, and they won't. And that goes back to something you said at the very, very beginning is know what we want and what we're willing to give up. And that is exactly what somebody asked me a few weeks ago. Why did you do that? Well, because our kids aren't in daycare. And I don't have anything against daycare because
for no, I don't have anything against daycare.
Yeah, but that's just a decision. Yeah, we made a long, long time ago. That's not something that we wanted to do, nor do we. So we will do whatever it takes to make that not happen. And the irony of that is every Thursday and Friday, our home has kind of become a daycare for some dear friends of ours. That's the mode there, and they don't want to put their kid in daycare. So here's a brand new child that they adopted, and so she comes over and hangs out with us on Thursday and Friday, and we love it, and what it's done for our family, and it's a kick in the pants to have that opportunity to be able to have the luxuries and the liberty and the, you know, the leverage to be able to provide that. Susan, I got one question that's jumping out at me, because right about halfway through our conversation here, you said that the comfort zone is the product. What would you say, what would you encourage the wellness consultant who's out there, let's say they've been with Meekin for 5 days, 5 years, you know, 15 years, and that's what we just always seem to be sharing with other people as well. You got to check this out because this changed my life. Or the story I heard last week that, you know, here's a gal who was addicted to sleeping pills for 20 years, two decades, and in less than 2 weeks, she's off sleeping pills because of the Meekin solution. Now, we get excited about that because they change people's lives, but if the comfort zone is the products, what would you share to somebody? Say, hey, I want to get out of that. I want to become like where Susan's at, and I want to have a residual source of income so I don't have this stress in my life, and I can actually go to the place where Susan used to work at Disney World or Disneyland and actually have a vacation. What would you say to that person?
Well, first of all, it's not this complicated thing. There's a couple of things I just want to share. Number one is you're coming from people's needs. Okay, it's not like, oh, let's see, I'm going to drop the products and I'm going to focus here and charge in there and look for business builders and entrepreneurs. And no, that's never the way that I've done it or the way that I teach it. It's a deep breath. Okay, and you're looking and you're coming from their need. Okay, if their need is the product and they have, they've been on sleeping pills for 20 years, which if you read any sleeping pill bottle, you're supposed to use it for a maximum of 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, so that's pretty serious. 2 or 3 weeks or 20 years, I don't know. Missed the label on that one a few thousand times. Okay. So what happens is that you just come from the need. So if it's the person that is on these sleeping pills, it's all in question. Without looking like I'm getting my age away now, Perry Mason or whatever like that or whatever. You know, it's like it, not drilling somebody with questions, but working it just in a conversation. We all have conversations while we're sitting at Massage Envy waiting to have our massage, or we're standing in line at a restaurant waiting to be seated. You talk to people behind you. I mean, it's just conversation. But in that conversation, you're wanting to discover what the need is, okay? You know, so it's very general. You know, if you're in a cold call situation, but most of the time we're talking to people that we know a little bit about them. You know, it's someone that your children go to school with, or it's someone you go to church with that just transferred in, you know, from Texas, and now they're here at the, and you know a little bit about them. So you just want to play the game of finding out where their need is. What blessing that Nikan has would be of the most, again, I go back to those scales, would weigh in the most for them? What would they value? What would they really, really treasure right now in their life? Okay? And what would they benefit from? See, so you're not deciding to put on a different hat and say, I'm going to go after business builders. You're just opening up your mind and creating the habit of saying, I'm going to come from the need, Vance, instead of go charging in there, let's talk about a wellness home. It's just taking a step back, deep breath, and going, okay, let me just kind of analyze the situation. Let me give you a quick example. What I'm talking about is observing. I'm a very good observer. I think I get that from my dad because he's a big people watcher. I mean, his idea when I was young, I'd go up and see him in Atlanta over the summers. He'd take me to the mall, and we'd sit there with an ice cream and just watch people in the mall. And it was his idea of a good time. And then, you know, he was doing something with me, so we got up. So we'd sit there and just watch people in the mall. And, you know, he loves to watch people. So it's kind of interesting when I work with new distributors and they go in a doctor's office, they go charging right up to the window. Hi, yes, we're here to see Dr. Robinson. No. I walk in the doctor's office and I just actually take a seat and I just kind of sit around and look what's going on. I look what's on the counters. I see what, you know, is the office new? Is it kind of old? Does it have tons of drug brochures? Does it have alternative things in there? What's the attitude of the office? Things like that. Just observing a little bit. And when we observe, we pick up on some things that might help us to know what to say to this person. So something that's one of the original ideas I have, which is very few, because again, I take things from other people, as we've already said. It's a wonder I'm not doing hard time for theft, but Nikan theft is legal, so.
They call it research. I think research is the proper
right. term. That's right. So anyway, one of the few original ideas I have is when you pick a door, I train my people to think this way. Number one, are we going through the product door? Number two, are we going through the network marketing door? Number three, are we going through the referral door? Or number four, are we going through the general pain? And general pain is nothing to do with physical pain. It has to do with don't have enough money, have plenty of money, my husband's a workaholic, my kids are gone and moved out of the house. Who am I? I went to university. I want something to do part-time that's rewarding. I want to show my kids I can build. You know, it's not just money. It's not just money. I have so many people in my business that some of which are much wealthier than me, that are having success in Nikan and feel no guilt about cashing those checks every month and intellectually are getting a lot out of it. So when you think of it, just train yourself to say, okay, general pain. Wow, they want to send their kids to private Christian school. Why do they need a water system? They want to send their children to private Christian school and then they like to enroll them this September. And they haven't been able to do that. And you've had conversations with them, and you're still going in there thinking, well, how are y'all sleeping? Mm-hmm. The sleep is part of it. Business is part of it. You know, one of the things that I jump up and down about, like, that frustrates me, people are like, do you lean with the product? Do you lean with the business? I don't lead with anything. They lead me. I listen. What is the need of this person? Do they need a water system? Absolutely. absolutely they need a water system. But what's going to get their attention? Again, the $100 on the table or the MagFlex? You know what I'm saying? So you just, but you come from their need. They've talked to you about that. They're concerned. They've moved to the area. They bought this house. The realtor led them astray. The school district's not so hot. And you know that the best schools now are $600 a month or $800 a month. In advance, you just come to them and say, Mrs. Johnson, I know you guys just moved here from Texas, and I understand that you're really, really wanting to find the way to get those children into a better school. Yes, I am. Okay. Well, I know that's really important to you. Oh, yes, that school, they've got this, and there's fighting, and there's this and that, and problems. And really? Yeah, do you think it's going to get any better? No, and then the middle school's even worse. And then, okay. And the reason those kids aren't in school because the funds aren't there for that extra. No, it's not. We just bought this house. We have to remodel it. Da da da. We got the down payment. You know, and we kind of wiped out to get into that house. You listen, and they'll tell you whether they're not sleeping well and they're on sleeping pills. I have a platinum in my business. I went over and had lunch at her house. Just had lunch at her house. Didn't know this woman. Some other person introduced me. Right? And we're sitting down there, and we're having lunch, and she made a nice little lunch for us, and it comes up, I don't know how, but it came up that she doesn't sleep well. And I said, you don't sleep well? No, I don't sleep well. Oh, I'm on sleeping pills, I know it's not good for me, and I'm still not sleeping, I'm on the pills. It always cracks me up when people are still taking the pills, and they're still not working. It's always kind of interesting to me. So what did I do? Do I go out there and get a brochure and show her, you know, that three people underneath her making $2,000 a month is $50,000 a year in Eakin? No. I go out to the car, which I have, you know, it's always interesting, women that carry mattresses in their cars, isn't it? That's always an interesting thing. That's a whole different call. So I go in there and I get the mattress pad out and I get the pillow and I get the quilt and I explain the technology in it. Yes, I mean, talking about the product because that's your need. That's your need. And I loan that to her three nights, four nights, five nights, no difference. The fifth night, or the sixth night, boom, she's sleeping through the night and she's a platinum in my business. And then she was one of the platinums that took me to Worldline. So I am teaching you and preaching to you what I do. I come from the need. Then once she started sleeping, absolutely. Then we start talking a little bit different. But it's just come from their need. What do they value? Where's the alarm? Where is it in their life? And if you can care about them and help fill that and show them something that Neekin has to offer, maybe we don't have anything. You know? Or maybe they said they tried it and they didn't. Or whatever. But just know that the people are out there. And it's just amazing. If you thought that this woman is going to be one of the last platinums to take me to the level of Worldline and the company, no. That wasn't on my mind. It was like, if this woman, let's see if we can get her sleeping. It's a game. It's a game. Well, that's why after 17 years, I'm still having fun, because it's a game. It's not work.
That's the thing right there. It's not work. You're not hunting. You're out there serving. You're washing people's feet. You're doing rollouts. You're loaning them a sleep system. You're doing it. And I knew you'd answer that question that way, but I wanted to hear you explain it because it's so vital. To introduce people to Vital Wellness, and that, because that aspect of wellness for them, more than likely, especially with what our country's experienced in the last decade, is the financial is the greatest need that we have, and that's where the biggest stressors come. And I met a couple yesterday, and the more we talked, the more she kept asking questions. And when we said our goodbyes, she said, "Now, Vance, what was the name of your company again, or where do I?" I said, "How about I make it easy on you, and I'll put the information in your Facebook account. Would that make it easier?" Her husband turns 45 tomorrow, and oh man, I hate to say it this way, but he looks like he could be turning 55 or 60. I mean, just in, and she explained all the critical things, and I just sat and listened. She said, have you ever heard of this disease? And I said, yeah. I said, I've heard, but I said, I'm immediately going to go to the other direction because I can introduce you to people who used to have that disease, who were making out their funeral arrangements. And I quoted several people that I know who don't have that anymore. And they're not dealing with the issues that her husband's dealing with. And I thought, this is so much fun when we remember that if we can come from that need rather than,
yeah,
you know, have
true.
Some agenda of our own. And that's
what,
you know.
Yeah, it's not your agenda. It's not your agenda. It's their agenda. Tap into it, serve it, find it, do it with love, do it with enthusiasm, but don't be tied to the outcome. So if this man who turns 45 who looks 55 never gets in your business, oh, it doesn't work. No. Maybe he's,
well, no, I'm going to stay in corporate America. I got 6 more years to put in this company, and then I can get a pathetic little pension if they don't change the pension. You know, maybe that's him. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's comfortable. Top right-hand corner, maybe everyone has to like him. I don't know.
Yeah, and I,
but
you know,
you just have to know the numbers.
And that's, and it's so true. And I'm so appreciative that you passed that on, and you were willing to share something that you learned from, you know, Kiyosaki. That because most of what I know today, I didn't come up with it.
No.
I didn't, you know, it's just being out there discovering and being willing. I think the biggest thing, Susan, that you're a great example of is being coachable and always becoming a student. Because once we do have that, go into that top left quadrant of always right,
yes,
then we're no longer teachable.
So you're stagnant.
Yeah.
And I see that in other leaders in the company where it's like, wow, these are the same stories and examples you had 7 years ago. This is really, I mean, it's either the greatest thing going, and that's why you stuck with it, but nothing that I'm talking about is stuff, in fact, coming from people's need and find out what they value. There was a word missing, and I was in Peru probably about 2 trips ago to Peru, and I was standing up there, and the word value came out of my mouth. Find out what people value. Is it money? Is it freedom? Is it better health? Is it, you know, what do they value? And there you go. There's the word, Susan. Not from their need, but what is it? I mean, let's make it even more. What do they value?
Well, what's vital?
Value recognition?
Yeah, what's vital to them?
Correct.
You know,
yeah.
What
a lot of people don't even understand what vital means. I throw that word around and people need to even know. But if you say, what do they value? Do they value money? Do they value recognition? Do they value security, financial security? Find out what they value and then show them a real picture of what we have and see if it's a remedy. And if it's not, great. Get back in the batter's box and have the courage to swing again, because you will make that contact. You will make that connection. And you only need a handful of people to do it. And, you know, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to Herb Rapp and that he didn't say no. And that I didn't say no and stayed home that night to watch Seinfeld. Because I really like Seinfeld, and Seinfeld was that night, and I'm like, well, they want me to go to some meeting. And I'm like, Seinfeld really looks funny this week, in the promos, you know?
Oh,
you know? Wow.
You can always,
wow.
If you miss them, you can always, you know, with cable or Netflix or buy the DVD.
Well, we didn't have that back then.
I know, but you chose to make that sacrifice today.
Oh, you know. It was a sacrifice not watching that episode.
Yeah, exactly.
It's you know, it's been life-changing, and it's been humbling to be part of this, but just, you know, for the people that are out there working and trying to put this together, just keep working on you, you know, and not sitting home reading a bunch of books and not talking to people, but reading those books and then going out there and swinging the bat and reading those books and go out and swinging the bat. And do not forget the importance of 3-way phone calls. Oh my gosh. It is just, I do them. I do them at my level in the company, because I still understand why we do them. And it's the psychology of not having to tell everyone everything and be the expert, but to let them know that there's other people. Oh, Susan's not doing this by herself. And then subconsciously, they don't have to either. So.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much value in that, and we can't encourage people enough to do it. And folks, if I can just throw this out to you, that I learned this from the late Stephen B. Stevens, and that is that a simple way to do three ways, if you're not comfortable, if you've never done them, and understanding the value and the importance of them, is get your friend, your new prospect, whoever it is, on the phone and say, hey, you know, you remind me a lot of somebody that I just heard about. Let me see if we can get them on the line right quick. And if whether it's somebody up above you or somebody that you met at a wellness preview or Humans Being More or whatever, and you call them and, oh my goodness, Lord forbid, they're not home. They're not answering their phone. That's even better, because you at that point can say, hey, you know, Dave, it sounds like Susan's not home right now, or she's not, you know, tied up. She's not answering her cell phone. Dave, why don't you leave your name and number and the best time that she can call you back? And Dave does that. The best time,
right.
Number, and then you say, and Susan, the reason why I wanted to connect you with Dave is because, well, you guys both worked at Disney.
Correct.
Whatever that connection is.
Or it's both of you are small business owners, or both of you are a stay-at-home mom, or both
what?
Of you had terrible arthritis in your hands.
Yeah, whatever that connector is, because that is what coming from the need is all about. Is you want to connect Dave with Susan because they have the same need. And then all of a sudden it takes it from a complicated trying to schedule a three-way to a simple phone conversation that when Susan, oh, okay, Dave said that he's best, I can reach him on Saturday morning, you know, at this and such time, and he's in California and I'm in Florida, so that, you know, deduct 3-hour time zone difference and boom. And you've just
correct.
Leveraged somebody else, and we see this happen over and over and over and over. And, you know, that's something I learned, and Stephen B. used to do that with me all the time. I was his sponsor, okay? And I'm still his wife's sponsor, and Gisela, we were on the phone yesterday. She does that with me all the time. You know, it's leverage, it's edification, what it talks about in Six Figures in 6 Months. And folks, if you haven't picked up a copy of that book, just go get it. You can get it from Focus on Growth. For a fraction of the cost, you can download it to your Kindle or your, you know, whatever most method of reading that you use. It's a life changer. It is absolutely life changer. It will improve your ability to swing at a much greater percentage and actually connect, as Susan has been talking about. And it'll help us identify those four different types of people and find the ones that really do want to win. And it's a fantastic resource. I've never read anything else out there, and I agree with Reed Nelson wholeheartedly on that. I've never read anything in my 20 years of being associated with Nikan that is like this book. It is really, really, it's fun, for starters, and, it teaches a lot. And so, Susan, you gave way more, way more than I asked for, and I'm so appreciative of that. Now we know why you're at where you're at. So.
Well, it's not at where I'm at. I got out of this what I wanted, which was time freedom. I have been home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, it's like, and if I want to go somewhere, I go somewhere. And if I want to do a call, I do a call. And if I want to schedule someone, I schedule someone. It's like my life isn't running me. I'm running my life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if my income is at this level, and the rest of my life, great. It's not about more and more and more. It's about what do you love to do? I love to spend my days the way I want to spend them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost makes me, it's just a thrill to see. It's like, it's 11 o'clock. Okay. What do I want to do now? You know, instead of going, oh, Larry's breathing down my neck, and this isn't done, and we have a problem at the other store, and I got to get over there. What? You know, it's like, to me, let me just end with this, Vance. To me, the word busy is like, it is truly a four-letter word.
Mm-hmm.
And people, they use it, oh, I'm so busy. You know, it's like they're wearing it as a badge of honor. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so important. And I just go, wow, the people that I admire are not busy people. It's the people like yourself that are saying, wow, let's see, gets up at 7 o'clock in the morning, gets his children dressed and fed, takes them to school, stops by the post office, to buy some stamps, maybe pick up a couple of groceries, head home, have lunch with Stacy, either in the house or wherever they want to. They'll have to rush back to the office, and then he makes some phone calls, or returns some phone calls and some emails, schedules an event here and there, goes and picks up his children, and then, you know, or goes on a field trip with them that afternoon. You know, it's someone who's running his life. That is what, who you go, wow, that's cool. There's a four-letter word for you. That's cool. So is it busy, or is it, you know, the four-letter word of free? Which is the cooler word? Mm-hmm. Is it free, or is it busy? Which one is to be more admired? Because that's what I do. I don't admire you because, Vance, you're a lawyer you know, you have a large practice and you're downtown with a fancy parking space and, you know, you're working 55, 60 hours a week and you're in court. And if that's what you want, great. Absolutely. We need lawyers. We need all these people to be busy to help our lives run. But I just don't want to play in that. I want to play in what I think is cool, which is, wow, that guy has been free for how many years? And he's taking those children this and that, and when they're homesick, he doesn't have to ask for permission.
Well, you know, Bob, I really need the time off, you know, because my daughter's sick or my son's sick.
And then you feel all weird inside because, you know, they really need you and you're a key part of what's going on. And you got a kid home with a fever of 101, 102, and it's like, you know, it's exhausting.
And Susan, that word, I think for the last probably 15 years of my life, when somebody says, well, Vance, you and Stacey are just so busy.
Uh-huh.
And I have rebuked more people.
Oh, I do too.
I have looked at them eyeball to eyeball and say, look, listen to me very carefully. Do not put that on me. You may look and you may interpret our life as busy. No, we are active by choice. This is the life that we chose, that we wanted to live. Yes, we have been on 16 cruises. Yes, our 14-year-old has been on 13 cruises before her 10th birthday. Yes, our middle daughter has been on 161 different airplane rides. Why? Because that was our choice. Yes, we have a 3-year-old that wakes us up every morning, usually because she's singing at the top of her lungs. Because we made that choice. It wasn't because we were busy. Yeah, and I, you know, so you opened
that's
up a can of worms.
That's funny, because I know, yeah, a can of worms, but you're hitting a real hot button with people like, oh, you're so busy. And I'm like, no. I have spurts where I'll work, you know, 8-10-hour days, you know, for a little bit, and then I go back to doing and owning my day, you know, exclusively, and then I'll own half of the day, and then the next day I'll own, okay, maybe I'll have the morning free, and then I'll work with some people in the afternoon, or do something in the evening, or have a lunch appointment on, you know, 15, 20 miles from here, or something like that. But I'm not busy. I'm not busy. Busy to me is 40 hours a week, 5 days a week. And I know if you put the little stopwatch on me, I don't work this business 40 or 50 hours a week. You know?
Well,
so
yeah,
what's your definition of busy?
Yeah.
I think, hey, I think you're busy, buddy. You know? So
and really, is it really that bad to do what we do, even if we were doing it 40 or 50 hours a week, which we don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in the.
I don't know anybody in this business that does this 40 and 50 hours a week. That's considered full-time in America, right? And so I don't work full-time, and you don't work full-time.
No, and there's no real work involved. I mean, this week I spent an hour a day. So 4 hours I invested into a brand-new wellness consultant who came on board on Monday night at 9 p.m. is when we connected, all because she dropped her cholesterol by 37 points. And she was so excited that she just kept researching more and more and more and more. Once she got on the website, I didn't know what her need was.
I just thought she wanted more Berkey. That's all I, right. You know, and because she got connected to me because her sponsor was at the beach and they didn't have internet and they couldn't sign her up. And now she's a brand new senior. She's got people all over the U.S. that she wants to get in front of. And I'm going, okay. I'm going, you just became my new best friend.
Vance, you're so busy.
Oh my goodness, Susan, you have been a true joy to have on
thank
the call
you.
This morning. And folks, if you, if you missed something, you weren't able to write down some of these points as fast as some of us can, go back and check out the recording. SaturdayAMLive.com is the website that's there. And if you missed Jack Clark last Saturday or Dr. Robin, Ekholm 2 weeks ago, go back and check out the recordings. They're there. Make advantage or take advantage of that. Leverage those. You can copy and paste the links, and maybe you think, oh my goodness, we've been on the phone for an hour and 6 minutes. That's too long to get my friend to listen. I don't think so, because I don't think at any given point in what Susan was sharing, I don't think at any given point you can say, okay, now I'm bored. No, I don't think so, because it's the same thing with listening to Roger Drummer talk about the concept of our shake is better than your shake and sugar and how it affects the body. I don't think at any given point in that 70-some minute presentation that you go, okay, I think I'm bored now. Because when someone is sharing passionately from their heart, you can't get to that point. So leverage these people sharing, and Susan has done a fantastic job sharing this morning. And take advantage of that. And so, Susan, thank you so much. Oh, almost forgot. Colin Gilmartin, who has written a book called Dream Training, is going to be our guest next Saturday. He's brand new to Nikan. Well, not brand new, but newer. But he's just an amazing gentleman, full-time soccer coach. And he flips houses to actually generate income. But this book is absolutely a fantastic resource. I've not even read the whole thing yet. Well, let me just be honest. I've scanned it, okay? But I've got a copy. It hasn't even been published, to my knowledge, but he emailed me a copy of it. But I thought, man, this guy would be wonderful. So he'll be with us next Saturday. And then I'll be actually in Dallas, Texas 2 weeks from now, and I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to make that work with the time change and everything. But thank you, Susan, for being on the line.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Have a great Easter weekend to everybody. And we will talk to you next Saturday, if not before. Bye-bye, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.
To learn more about Nikan, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.